Welcome to the With the Wolf podcast. We're here to entertain, inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Wolf and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I have unlimited power.
Dev's just happy to have electricity, which, Dev, would you like to explain how your week went?
Yes, so not only was I getting a root canal done on my birthday, but later on, that same bee, my power just completely went to shit.
Dev showed me pictures of the breaker burnt.
Yeah, the power kept going out, so I figured, okay, we'll turn off some of the breakers. Maybe it's just because, you know, it's -0 degrees here at the time. It's like, okay, maybe it's just having a hard time, you know, trying to, like, heat this whole ancient building. Let's turn stuff some down and, you know, flip the breaker back up.
Kaboom.
About 30 minutes later, I smell smoke. Like burning plastic. So I go into the basement and my entire basement is full of smoke and it's coming from the electric panel.
And one of the only times I will outright pat myself on the back, Dev had to survive using the fast charger I recommended she get for, I think you were using it for your phone, but is that the one that I told you to get for the tablet?
Yes, because my Surface Pro tablet did not actually come with any sort of charger or charging cord whatsoever.
And it was choking on all the phone chargers, I think.
Yeah, and even the Switch one was just like, okay, it's not quite enough, but I'll take it.
Yep. And then,
so yes, I had to charge my devices at the mall because I did not have electricity for several days.
Yeah, so Dev's had a very fun, exciting week.
I'm catching up on sleep.
And then, Dev, did you at least get to watch the new Beat Break?
Yes, somehow against all odds, I actually did.
Yeah. And we start with night vision and military hunting in a forest with a guy in Commandramon. And you know what does bother me a bit, Dev? Didn't we call this a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Especially
after Granite's episode.
Yeah. We get another standalone pseudo military type thing where it feels like it should have been integrated into the Granite one. And then it feels like it's being used as a shortcut for character development.
I feel like instead of necessarily with the Granite episode, they could have had a little bit more foreshadowing with the initial introduction to Tactics, or like at least their second episode.
And then we get Glowing Dawn walking home after shopping. They find a guy pass out. I like Reyna thinking it's suspicious, and they decide they're just going to keep going. And then he comments,
I mean, Reyna has the right idea.
And then he comments about starving. Very much on purpose telegraphing of, okay, the guy's doing this on purpose. And then,
like, I'm dying, please feed me.
Then we move, the food is gone, Gekkoman sad, and they comment on it for it to be for Kyo when he comes back from Narinso. And he points out, oh, don't have to hide them, I already know Digimon. Out pops Commandramon. Did they draw him with giant jowls at first?
Yes.
Okay, I saw that, I'm like, that seems a bit off. And we get to see it's Camo.
How they did it. It was very cute. It was a very nice little look at.
Mm-hmm. They try and leave, but Reyna stops them. And so does Gekkoman. They need to work for the food they eat. And we get more war flashbacks for them, and we get to see Commandramon, who's suffering from PTSD, which I will say is actually a really solid character thing, because that is a Digimon that you just look at him and think about the name and everything, and that is a Digimon, like, tailor-designed for this, and the idea he just does not like it and does not handle it well is good.
It's like your entire existence and data is, you know, warfare. Specifically, guerrilla warfare.
Then Harumi says something, and then he's confused why Glowing Dawn's poor, and then Tomuro explains that, you know, they don't kill, they don't give up the Digimon. And pretty quickly, Harumi decides Commandramon should stay with Glowing Dawn. And then that's when Tactic shows up and attacks. They reveal they've been chasing him. I still don't know what to think about Tactics, because they're so purposely unlikable.
They're just fucking annoying.
It is, but like when it's that weird type of thing where they're really written that way. Is it? I don't know. Then we get the token references where each person references the one they interacted with in prior episodes.
It's like, hi.
Yeah. Just
waving awkwardly at you.
And then Commandramon distracts everyone and they run. Tactical retreat. And Commandramon gets knocked out.
I like that Commandramon just started lugging fucking grenades.
It's good. I like Harumi knowing that they won't delete Commandramon because their job is to capture them both. And I like...
Yes, like there's a specific value placed on it.
And I like the... I like when they find ways to make Gekkomon's personality come through naturally. And Harumi talks about, you know, their hands being dirty and they're tired of the shitty jobs. And Gekkomon just wonders if they can wash them.
Gekkomon is so fucking precious.
Yeah. And then he says he has a lot of money stashed away. He wants Glowing Dawn to help get him back, which makes sense. And also, Tomuro not trusting him also makes a lot of sense because the guy just feels, like, plotted very shady.
Like, they literally found him on the side of a road.
Well, not only side of a road, wasn't it like,
dash.
Wasn't it basically, like, really close to Glowing Dawn anyways?
It feels just, like, just along the docks.
That's what I thought. I wasn't sure, though, because that might have just been, like, settings issues. And then Eye catches Tomuro, which makes sense, but, like, Tomuro has not actually done all... We need, like, some more team eye catches for when it is not, like, a character-specific episode.
Yeah.
Tomuro leaves to get air with Gekkomon because he really, you know, doesn't trust him. And then always the good plot moment is when one character starts to talk and then the camera changes. I like that we get Gekkomon talking to Tomuro about his feelings, like he knows he doesn't trust him. Comment something doesn't feel right.
Hey, they're communicating.
No, and like it is nice. And even Gekkomon points out if he was up to something, he really did not have to save Tomuro earlier. Like there wasn't really any obvious benefit there. And then we jump ahead to Tactic Show for a deal. Tomuro and Harumi. Tactics comments on it being stupid. They should follow orders. I will say, I love when they do the it's supposed to be hidden. And they make it really obvious it's not him for the audience, even though they aren't telling us it's not him. Although
yeah,
I have to admit...
Like that kind of got projected pretty easy. Yeah. I initially thought it was going to be Reyna.
No, that's exactly what I thought, was that it was going to be her. What's even funnier is it being Yoshi, and in like the full outfit and everything, not just the hoodie.
Yeah.
You know, Gekkomon evolves, Harumi runs off to Yoshi's car, and that's when they... reveal that it's actually him when the hoodie pops up in the car. I liked Wolvermon popping out the back to distract them. And can we just say, I love every use of Ludum on the show when he gets thrown as a frisbee.
He's just a little guy.
He
just gets tossed around.
Him not evolving so far makes more sense when you see how fun he's being used.
It's like, he doesn't need to evolve.
I feel like
he's perfect the way he is.
I feel like the only issue I have with the warehouse, does it feel like a warehouse would not have enough room for, like, an aerial battle in it?
Not necessarily. I mean, considering it's, like, a storehouse near, like, a shipping area, they get pretty stupid fucking big.
Yeah, but also it's a very empty warehouse. Like, it's... It very much feels like the warehouse...
Yeah, it has nothing in it. It was a little suspicious.
Yeah, it feels like the generic empty warehouses you will see in some episodes of Tokusatsus. Except those, they'll pile some cardboard boxes in places to make them feel full.
Yeah, at least have like a shipping container or a few in there.
Yeah, something. Then when they jump back to the battle showing the flying and all that, Commandramon gets popped out of his prison by Harumi, dressed as Yoshi... And ice blasts fly at them. And then we get the visual of Harumi grabbing Commandramon and shoving and holding him in front of him to block the attack. And Tomuro gets a great reaction here.
Initially, I thought he was, like, pulling Commandramon, like, underneath him.
So, I thought he was doing that.
Gonna, like...
I thought they were doing that at first, then the visual of him pushing in front. And Tomuro and Harumi grabs his Sapotama. Tactics is upset because it was meant to be a warning shot. Tomuro flips out about Harumi using his Digimon. Did you notice the thing about the Sapotama? Unless I'm imagining it, in prior episodes, when something happens to the Digimon, doesn't the Sapotama go dull?
Sure it does, or it has like a deletion effect around it.
Yeah, I like that it does not happen here. And they actually wave the Sapotama in front of the camera for us. They just don't comment on it, which I actually think is good. And Tomuro punches him right in the face as he brags that, you know, he's alone
all
now.
And to Keikaku.
He's alone now, so Tactics won't want him because he has nothing to do with Digimon anymore. And Raito and Rampomon grab him anyways. Their orders to bring him in. Him being alone does not change that. So off they go. And Tomuro's just tired of this shit. We get the E-Pulse. And then charging up Armalizamon. Raito also seems concerned about the E-Pulse. And this is when I feel like we have to pause because I feel like there's a writing issue. It's kind of double. So the first is, since Armalizamon's been introduced, we no longer get the Gekkomon power-up stuff.
Yeah, it just seems like they've just, like, oh, okay, we've done that for enough episodes, just straight to evolution. Yeah.
And also, a reaction like this feels like it should have been the Dark Energy one, because that was not necessarily based on their relationship, but rather based on Tomuro's emotions. And here he's, like, flipping out. It's just, yeah, they did not really, like, loophole out doing that, if that makes sense. It's just kind of not convenient to use either of them at the moment, so they just sort of don't. And
that makes sense.
And then to block the attack, we get Ludomon jumping in. And I like that Raito's actually, like, embarrassed and upset that he's been saved. And off they fly. And then the most important person being upset, Yoshi's upset that his shirt is gone.
That was vintage, you bitch.
And we also get the reveal then that Commandramon is fine. He can't camoed himself. We get a flashback to when Harumi was talking to them, and it was that they were going to trick Tactics so they'd all get away. They took Harumi anyways, and then Commandramon reveals that Harumi talked to him when he got him out of the box, and that the plan was always for Commandramon to get away, and he knew he was not going to be able to.
Poor baby, he's so sad.
Yeah, and Commandramon cries, and this is where, like, it... I like the idea that Commandramon was going to have to hang out with them, and then they plot all the way as, oh, his E-Pulse is low, and then he de-evolves. I actually don't like that in this case, to be honest.
It was annoying, like, even though they did, like, take the Sapotama away, which theoretically would have been holding most of the E-Pulse, like, having him de-evolve, like, that instantaneously was just kind of lazy.
It's basically, like, plotting out that then they don't have to deal with Commandramon as a thing. And that's kind of annoying, because that was actually, like, something interesting, like, what if there's another Digimon hanging around helping them who does not have a partner, and they can do something with that, instead it's just, nope, can't do anything with it.
It's like, nope, you cannot get assistance from NPCs.
You can't do the cool, interesting thing, because that would be cool and interesting. And then later, we see Bombmon with Kyo commenting they'll take care of him. I like that Tomuro's upset that he misjudged him.
But also him misjudging him was...
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense.
Worked into the plan.
No, that's the funny part is he figured out Tomuro quickly enough to figure out Tomuro was not going to trust him. And not that he's wrong, but, like, it makes sense.
But also Tomuro has no acting skills either.
Yeah. No, and I like him specifically pointing out, like, Tomuro is always going to be the one to wear his heart on his sleeve. And then we cut to Harumi beat up on the floor of an office. Tactics is getting lectured, told they're on their last chance. This is where, like, okay, they're told this is their last chance. How many more episodes can they realistically work for the 5 stars past this point? Like, 2 or 3? Unless they get, like, an actual victory.
Also, they went out of the way to say, like, oh, Team 7 is the, like, highest performing and bestest Tactics team in existence.
No, and that's why I'm curious to see what they do with them, because if you're going to stick with that and not just turn it into, you know, Dr. Claw, you either have to give them a victory so big that it's dealt with, or you actually have to get rid of or hurt one of them. Did you ever watch the early 2000s cartoon of Ninja Turtles?
Yes, but it was so long ago.
Okay, so like what...
A few random episodes when it was airing.
So what they started to happen was that Shredder was much meaner, and he started commenting on he was not going to accept failure from Baxter Stockman anymore. And episode by episode, every time Baxter Stockman would show up, he'd actually be missing a limb. Like, they made it very clear that, like,
he never paid enough attention to that.
Like, there's points when he's missing an eye or, like, in a wheelchair where, like, he's clearly getting the absolute shit kicked out of him because he's failing. Like, if you check the design episode by episode, they do real permanent damage to him to make it, like, clear that, like, they do need him, but it's not acceptable that he's failing. And how do you keep that threat without... So I'm curious to see what they do with tactics. Although it feels like they have to get a victory soon because they haven't really done much, have they?
Every single episode is just them just hovering around Glowing Dawn and trying to, like, steal their jobs.
Yeah.
They haven't really done anything else.
Yeah. And then Harumi gets dragged to another room. He's asked if he believes in hell. He smiles and thinks to himself that Commandramon can start over. Commandramon's free now. No more nightmares for him. End of the episode. So, solid. I do feel like we're getting a few too many. It's weird. Like, character introduction, character introduction, character introduction. New character introduction. A character who was not there rather than introducing the last one. Yeah. Like, it's a solid episode, but, like, the show has kind of fallen into a rut, sort of.
Like, not necessarily, like, monster of the day, but it's just, like...
Yeah,
person of the day.
We need to get past one-and-done character intros, basically. Like, it's a very good episode, and it's lifted up by the not-completely-surprised ending, but we do need the gas pedal to be hit. Because we're getting really close to episode 20.
Well, next week looks promising-ish. Yeah.
And then cast members. So, Koki Uchiyama... played Harumi, big episode, new to Digimon, are ready for some of his roles. He's one that I had to, like,
I actually know some of
them. He's one that I did quite a few of, and this is only a small part, Seiya and Amagi, Brilliant Park, Ruth and Ancient Magus's Bride, Jack and Shinobu and Blade, Lucifer and Blue Exorcist, Glorio and Dragon Ball, I believe that's from Daima, Ikkyo and Free, he takes over the role of Philip for Fudo Pie, Kei and Hakyu, Ichika and Infinite Stratos, Toge and Jujutsu Kaisen, Banagher, Lynx, and Gundam Unicorn, which is where I mostly know him from, Tomura and My Hero Academia, Raku and Nisekoi, Hamaguchi and Takagi-san, Benedict and Violet Evergarden, Kaito and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Yuri and Yuri on Ice. Now, I didn't watch Yuri on Ice, there's two of them, right?
Yes.
I don't know which one he is.
Does it spell with one U or two?
I don't know. I spelled it one U. But I don't know if that's actually correct.
Okay. If it's one U, it's the little Russian shit. And if it's two U's, it's the main character.
I have no idea. And then Daisuke Sakauchi played Commandramon. He has a long history with Digimon. Are you ready, Dev?
Yes.
In the Adventure 02, the one where I think it's the one where they mix up all the armors from many years ago, he's Pukumon. He was Trailmon Kettle in Frontier. He was Igunitmon in Cross Wars. Flaw Wizardmon in Hunters. Hackmon in His Evolutions in Atmon. He was Kotaro in Ghost Game, which I think is probably his funniest Digimon role. Non-Digimon roles, he was Hidato in Suo in Battle Spirits. Yohei in Clannad. Victor in Fire Force. Shimura in Gintama. He's the young version of Ace in One Piece. Yuki in Persona 5. And Zeno in World Trigger.
Good
to see him again. I hope that that means we will get Commandramon. It does not feel like this is the cast you pick for one-offs. And then next time we get episode 19, Black Market Auction.
This feels very formulaic
It does. I'm hoping that there's a good twist beyond just like the ending one here, because even this episode was kind of formulaic. It's done well. But it's also hitting the point where I need Beat Break to do something. Because it's kind
of... I've seen so many series just this year that have, like, oh, we're sneaking into a black market auction. We're going to be wearing masquerade masks. We're going to try and bust people out or gather evidence.
Well,
it's going to end up in a brawl.
That is, like, a very standard thing. I don't think they're going to do the even more standard thing of, and then when the mask is pulled off, it's not them. The character we expect is actually somewhere else. But we'll see. But yeah, I need Beat Break to put the gas on, because like the first few episodes of Beat Break had such good pacing, and now
the
show
just feels kind of like a little sluggish.
Yeah.
At least it's doing better than Ghost Game.
It is.
At least
it is,
in my opinion.
And then, so we already went over the cast. I like that we got the cast information ahead of time. Although, did it feel almost like they were hiding them at first until they revealed them?
For the episode that just aired, or for the trailer?
For Haruomi and Commandramon. Like, I want to say like, when they put the trailer up, they put, like, the character, like, they put up, like, cleaner question mark and didn't say the character's name or the cast name, so it felt like there was something special happening, and there really wasn't. But yeah,
it feels like it should be more of like a major character.
Yeah.
For that kind of.
Yeah, and we got like a full profile and everything. Then we got some art before the episode airs for episode 17. I love the range of art. I love the scene in the restaurant. We're also back to showing character settings. I love the art of Shademon.
Yes, I love getting like full turnaround reference artwork. Especially for, like, the little details of a character.
Well, it's especially interesting with Shademon, because when you don't look at the design, you kind of expect that it's just, like, move your hand back and forth to make, like, waves. And they actually show, like, there's an outline shape and everything that they want.
Like, this is the direction that the tendrils kind of, like, oscillate in.
Yeah. Then we get a behind-the-scenes clip with Zeno Robinson, which, nice little behind-the-scenes clip. Maybe a bit too much yelling for a behind-the-scenes clip. They like to show those type of clips.
I guess that's just the... Yeah.
And then they also do a short Q&A with him about, like, you know, him describing Tomuro, his favorite line so far, what does Digimon mean to him, who his favorite Digimon is. He has a good answer. Did you watch it?
Yes. Yes, that one I did watch.
Bearmon.
The other one I turned off because...
I think the wild thing is he says... It used to be Bearmon, and maybe it still is, but then he goes, it's kind of changed to Vemon over the years, which I think is a really interesting one to change to, because, like, Vemon as a thing does not feel like it's, like, evolved much over the years, so I think it's an interesting one to come around to later.
Well, also might be, like, when did he actually, like, get into Digimon? Like, Digimon World 3 might have possibly been, like, one of his first experiences.
Yeah, that's true.
With Digimon.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, I mean, how often do you, like, go to a rental store? It's like, oh, hey, this the cover of this game looks cool.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that, to be honest. Like, that could very well have been what he found at the time. And especially if that's especially if that's after 02, he may have discovered 02 later.
Yeah, because Digimon World 3 came out around
Tamers Frontierish, I believe.
Tamers was airing.
Yeah, I think it's like somewhere around when they were getting ready to transition. I may be forgetting, though.
It was around 2001, 2002 when that game came out.
Okay, so like kind of transition-y, but also I may just be mixing it up because Bearmon being like around that era in general. And then we get to see that the new issue of CG World Magazine Japan has a feature on how various anime are using CGI, and they're showing off Unreal Engine being used for Mirror World in Beat Break. Makes sense. It's interesting because, like,
it's 3D stuff.
No, it's interesting because, like, they've been pushing Unreal Engine to do this type of thing for years now, but it's hard to think of Unreal Engine that way for me.
Because you're so used to it being, like, used, like, specifically for video games?
Yes, even though as a film thing... It goes back a number of years now. It just doesn't feel like that for me personally. And then we get another cast preview. Yume, Ikuhara, and Tinkermon will both be voiced by the VTuber Hakioi Koyori. Now, hilariously, I don't think this is a VTuber either of us have come across, even though we see a lot of Hololive clips.
Yeah, I don't recognize this one at all.
I don't either. It is possible it's been in clips we've seen. I just don't think it does not overtly come to mind. She mentions how as a kid she dreamed of being a chosen child, going to Digital World, meeting a Digimon. Before being a VTuber, they studied to be a voice actor that wanted to appear in anime. She's very excited about being in Digimon. Her life, a decent chunk of her live stream show thing today was focused on that. They had like full, they had like not the YouTube caption system, but they had like an English translated caption system turned on, putting English on the screen, and it was busted. Like the translations were great, a lot of the and a lot of the text was actually going off screen.
Oh,
so that's whoever was doing the text stuff. Yeah, it did not work that well.
I take a look later with the text turned off because I could probably get a decent amount understood.
Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm saying if you turn off the YouTube captioning, I'm saying there's hard subs as part of the video. So there's two automated translations happening at once. There's the soft YouTube translation subtitles, and then there's hard subs small on the video. I only have one concern over this. It has nothing to do with her. It's something I didn't think about until they introduced her. And I'm like, it's like, okay, they announced the cast of the five stars in the tactics. Like, oh, a lot of big VAs, a lot known for Digimon. Makes sense. It feels like stunt casting, but it makes sense based on them being like rival characters, right?
Yeah.
Then we get Haruo Amin, Commandramon, and it's super big VA and big VA known to Digimon. And it's like, okay, they must be important. But it said, then they announce another one early, and it's a VTuber. It's like, is the show at the point where like it's stunt casting every episode now?
Oh my god, it might be.
You get what I'm saying? Like, it gives the vague suggestion that it is not doing well. If they're like, every episode they're now stunt casting and announcing cast ahead of time. Like, they go on, like, right when they do the last episode of the core, and they go on hiatus, they announce like a dozen new cast members. All big, all blah, 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 blah. So those go through. Then they introduce two new people, which are stunt castings, and it makes sense out of context. Now we get that again. It's like, I'm worried that like, this does not sound healthy for the, like in the sense of the show doing well, where like, it feels like now every week is, fans need to watch the show because this person's going to be on it.
I wonder how many other shows are doing that where they might just be kind of like picking up that trend, or if it they might be uniquely trying that. I don't know.
I will say I do disagree with chat. Chat saying it's not stunt casting if they're voiced by professional voice actors. It 100% can be, because that can be cameo stunt casting where you are trying to get fans of the person to tune into the show. Especially when the character is removed in a way that promises they may be back. That is definitely stunt casting. It made sense up until they kept doing it. And now I'm like, I don't know if this seems like positive. Like, I like everyone who's been doing it. They've all done a great job, but it feels like it's being done to try to prime the pump for ratings, if that makes sense. I don't know. What do you think?
Especially because then they like have like VTubers for Elysian or some other music as well.
I don't remember. The current ED's idols, which we'll get into that in a minute. I don't remember. Elysian, it's a VTuber sings the opening song. I don't think she's in the game, though. I honestly don't remember if they announced her as playing anyone. But it was a good song. It made sense. I think they probably intended to launch earlier, considering like they had her doing the rounds and everything. It feels like having her do all that marketing at that point is now kind of worthless, because she like really like did the rounds to like promote the game.
Yeah, but I think after all the feedback they got
gotta fix it first.
Testing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this has more problems than we initially thought.
Yeah.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, I have some concerns with the cast stuff in B-Break. Not with the cast themselves, just it does feel like they may be going down a road of, uh-oh, But we will see.
We'll see what happens in the next few weeks, whether it continues to be a trend.
Yeah. And then Beat Break Ending Theme 2, Brave Groove by iLife, is getting a digital single on February 11th. So that's based on where they do it date-wise. It could be partway through tomorrow or at the very end of tomorrow.
I really want to hear the full version.
Now, did you read the full article, Dev? Or do I get to reveal it to you?
I read most of it. It's like, wait, how many fucking versions of this?
10 versions of the CD. So
it's like, is this for an idol group? And then I read further. It's like, oh, yes. Okay, yes, it is an idol group.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so it will be out March 31st. The group version has 5 songs. Every version has 4 of the songs be the same, but track 2 is different. So track 2 on this one's called iLife SE. Track 2 on all the individual member versions are Brave Groove, but just being sung by the one person. And each one of these ends up being about $15-ish. No.
Yes.
Like, there are some Digimon CDs where I've bought multiple copies to get the multiple whatever. No.
Yeah, but this is insane.
Yeah.
But again, like, a lot of idol fans.
Yeah, this is very normal for idol CDs. But normally, there's some sort of bonus for buying them, like vote tickets or event tickets or lottery-type things. I don't think
this
I will...
It's still insane.
Yeah, I don't think I'll buy any of these because this is like, this is psychotic. This is too much. Like, this is about like $160 before importing if you wanted every version of the actual end theme.
Also, just a massive waste of plastic because you're buying the same fucking CD.
Yeah.
Almost a dozen fucking times with only like 2 minutes on it having any difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I will definitely listen to the full normal version of the song once that's on streaming. I'm not dealing with the CD nonsense. They also announced they will have a concert to celebrate the digital release on February 18th, release events in March for the CD, and a concert in August. I would hope there'll be a digital release that just has, like, just do an album, and it has the 5 songs from the group version. And then the 9 alternate versions as alternate tracks. Like, if they did a deluxe CD like that, I might actually import it. Because I like getting Digimon music on disc. This is too much for me.
But, yeah, this is almost a dozen CDs with next no difference.
Yeah. Moving on from Beat Break. Time Stranger News. Some of it's unexpected. Some of it's actually a surprise. So, first up, I don't think anyone's really that surprised that we're getting a Switch 2 version of Time Stranger.
Not whatsoever.
No. So what is a surprise is, A, it is coming as a normal version on July 10th, not like a complete version with all the DLC. It's being released the same way as the current versions are, which is fine. No news of a demo yet. I expect we'll get one, but we'll see. And then the trailer kept going on and having interesting stuff. So the first is, they're doing a Switch version also, which we definitely did not call. In fact,
I expected Switch 2 only.
Yeah, so, and there's a few reasons for that I think you'll agree with. The first is, while the game scales down very well, the way it was locked into certain resolutions on the consoles gave the suggestion that there was an actual issue. And also, it felt like they'd kind of moved on from the Switch. I'm very happy for people that will be on Switch that they will be able to play. That's very good. Even if it's completely, almost a little shocking. I would not have called that, to be honest. In fact, I think we've both
I'm happy, because I'm definitely not buying a Switch 2 until they come out with a
OLED
exclusive
model?
Zelda game.
There is an exclusive Zelda game.
Mainline Zelda game.
Okay, fair enough. Then, they announced that the Switch 2 will have 2 modes. Performance and quality. Now, this is something that we kind of like demanded for the game on other systems, right?
Yeah, because it kind of chugs.
Yeah. So before we get into those modes, the Switch 1 version, the cart can be used on the Switch 2, and with an update file, it can be used basically as a Switch 2 version. There are some odd discrepancies on Nintendo's website, but functionally, we expect it to be the same. but the Switch cart can be put back in a Switch, the update data removed, and then it turns back into Switch version, and the save will come with it.
Yippee!
So let's look at how the Switch 2 versions go around. Quality mode on TV will be 4K. Quality mode on handheld will be 1080p, and that will be 30 FPS. That is functionally the same as Xbox and PS5. The one difference is they are adding a proper HDR pass to the Switch 2 version. So that is good. Mm-hmm. Performance mode on TV will be 1080p. Performance mode on handheld will be 1080p. Those will be running at 60 FPS. For some odd reason, they will not have HDR. HDR should not be pushing enough that that is actually a difference. But whatever. Okay. Of note, the specifications on the Switch thing actually does not give the frame rate. It gives the frame rate in the sense of up to 30, up to 60. As in, they don't necessarily... to be clear, Time Stranger is not stable on anything. But that they're actually putting that there kind of makes you go, oh, okay.
So they're not really fixing this. They're just hey, we're
I would expect
it work, kind of.
I would expect the idea is it's stable-ish until you get to more complicated, busy places, and then all bets are off. I mean, I was playing it 104. I was playing it 144 FPS, and there were a few areas where even with me having new hardware that can run Doom the Dark Ages at 240 FPS, the game was tanking down to 60 because the engine was chugging so much. It didn't matter that I had good hardware. The engine just didn't know what to do. Then the Switch 1 version is a bit easier. 30 FPS cap, 1080p on TV, 720p on handheld. I would expect textures are going to be downgraded a bit. I hope the performance is decent for people getting it. It's hard to judge that at this point. A demo would help. Then, on an unspecified date, the PS5 and Xbox will get performance modes. So a 60 FPS 1080p mode. I'm very curious to see if resolutions change for the base version and for this, because I wonder if getting it on the Switch means they were able to fix some of the weird performance quirks the game has. I would love to see that everything just works properly now. On top of that, there was oddly no news on if the PC will be getting HDR, which bit odd, but I expect that just wasn't mentioned. Then on July 8th, the Japanese version of the game will have English audio added as an option for all versions. Most versions will get a range of subtitle options. The PS5 will get the audio change, but only have English subs added. Pre-order DLC, Deluxe Edition, Ultimate Edition, DLC packs will be done the same as other consoles. They're also doing the collector's editions in Japan again with Switch and Switch 2. It does not appear the US or European collector's editions are being redone with them. So the game will be 60 on Switch and Switch 2. Digital versions available of each. The Switch 2, the Switch cartridge will be a normal Switch cartridge. The Switch 2 cartridge will be a game, will be one of the key cards. So it doesn't have the game on it. It's a digital key rather than a code.
It's a useless piece of plastic.
And I'm kind of moot on it. I don't think I own any of them. A lot of people, functionally speaking, if they're getting that, they're getting it as they want something on their shelf. It doesn't overtly matter to me, because if you're buying that versus buying it digitally, sometimes you just want a shelf thing. My only real issue with that concept is the Switch 2 cases do not really look nice enough as shelf pieces, to be honest. The Switch 1, I like the look of. The banner on the Switch 2 and the red cases, I just don't like the look of.
It's so chunky.
Yeah. I don't think it works as a shelf piece, at least for me.
But also, I want, if I'm buying physical media, I want the actual physical media. If the apocalypse happens, I want to be able to play the goddamn game
without having to download shit. That is where the flaw potentially is. One, we don't know what version of the game will be on the Switch one. And two, remember, there's a downloadable upgrade thing that has to be on the system for it to be a Switch 2 version. So if they ever turn off that, then if you bought it for a Switch 2, there also,
either way.
Yeah, there also is realistically an actual issue. If it is not actually downloading the Switch 2 game for the Switch, if it's just like, here's a small patch that, you know, like the game date is the same, it may actually load from the Switch cartridge slower than the system. So we will see. Switch version is actually coming decently quick. It is still a surprise getting the first one. I'm hoping we'll see some engine fixes because that's where the pain point is, honestly.
Yeah.
So we will see. Let's see, chat. Oh, someone said they were curious to see comparisons for the 60 FPS on PS5 because they like how Time Changer looks. Overtly, I would not expect the look of the game to change much. Like, I've run it at different resolutions and different frame rates just to test stuff. The look of the game does not change that wildly. I would expect the bigger deal to be, one, it'd just be smoother at 60 FPS. Although, weirdly, not having HDR on the 60 FPS mode is strange. Yeah, so I would also say this feels like it jumps the chances of getting more DLC. Because it feels like you want to have more DLC coming once this is out. But we will see. Then for Liberator, we get a new column, Tips 32, Unchained Record. I have not read this, but I've seen a number of people say this really just feels like it's a novel chapter.
Yeah, I started browsing through it right before the podcast. It's like, oh, I won't have time to finish this before.
Yeah, a number of people have commented this really does not feel like one of the columns. It feels like they had an extra novel chapter. So I may read this one.
Yeah, it definitely has those vibes.
I may read this one. I don't know at the moment. Moving on from
that. Yeah, it doesn't have like the feel of the usual like columns.
Yeah, and then did we get to the Toei fiscal reports last week?
Yes.
Bandai fiscal reports. Bandai doesn't always mention Digimon, and part of that is we aren't really sure how the financials between Toei and Bandai work for this. Like, a lot of the time, Toei copyrights are listed and Bandai are not for Digimon. So while it's generally worded by fans as Bandai owns the brand and Toei does the anime, we actually don't know how everything works between them. So the financials here from Bandai are helpful because we so rarely get them. The main mentions were, it was noted, strong performance from Digimon, their digital unit. That's definitely Time Stranger. They mentioned the game being praised. They mention, not specifically Digimon, but North America being a high-priority area. And oddly, we get a look at a new product, which is Digimon Gathering Volume 1. This is mentioned in regards to last few years, they've been strengthening production in China for products designed for China. And we've seen that a lot the last
really
few
years. Really cool looking.
Yeah, we've seen that. It feels like small versions of Gems.
Or the, the
Digicall?
Data 1 and Data... Yeah,
Digicall. It feels like modern versions of those, yeah. We don't have information about the release of these yet that I know of. Really nothing super exciting in the report, minus, I think, the figures. The game stuff would be more interesting if we had numbers or more of a mention than it's doing well, because we already kind of knew that.
Like, it exists.
Yeah. Then, some news from Anime Japan. We knew Tomura was going to be on the key art, so they showed off the products for all the key art stuff. Can badge, acrylic. I like that it's an acrylic stand or charm, based on what you connect it to.
I like that. I actually do have a reincarnated as a slime one that's just like that, where it's like has like a little stand that's optional, but it also has like that little
the thing for the chain
keychain at the top.
Okay, now. The only flaw I have with this, and I didn't think about it until someone has said it, and I don't remember who, would this be 10 times cooler if Gekkoman was on his shoulder?
It absolutely would.
And then big die-cut stickers. Anime Japan is at the end of next month, and we'll see if we get any news from there. They also announced that ticket orders would get ticket-style stickers, and they showed off all those, including the Tomura one. Less exciting, but still fun that's going to be there. And then yeah. Cardopalooza. Let's both get a sip of water before we go through these, Dev.
So much.
Okay. Two different reprints of Masaru / Marcus, both of which also get the gold border cards. A lot of the cards we won't have much to say about because they're just reprints.
It's like we've seen this before.
Taiki Kiriha Nene. I think this is the first triple tamer card we have, and this is before there were triple colors. And then a reprint of Dice.
Yeah, I think I actually have this one from the original printing. I think I pulled this one.
That makes sense. I think this was a common one to get. Then Daisuke/Davis and Ken. This was from the beginning. Good art, though. I like it. Then reprints of Zeke Raymon and new cards of Shoutmon X7 in a parallel alt art. So the anime style art actually fits in really well with that Triple Tamer card.
It really does.
And then we get our beloved, this looks like it's from a model kit.
I would cry trying to do a model kit of that.
See, I don't think I would because it really feels like X4 or X7 would be like an obvious model kit choice.
I would prefer an X4.
Just less kibble, Dev?
Yeah.
Then more reprints. We get Gilmon, Gromon/Grelmon, and Dukemon/Skeletmon. I feel like we both like gushed over this Dukemon card before.
The coloring is so good, especially with like the Crimson Mode silhouette just kind of like echoing in the background.
I know, it's so good. And then we get a parallel alt art of Gilmon from Stardex 7 featuring new anime style art of the moment Gilmon is born. I really like this. I only have one negative about the card, and Dev, I think I know what you're going to say, so you go first.
I was going to say, like, before I zoomed in, I thought I was like, oh, it's a screenshot, but then I went, it's like, oh, this is actually, like, really clean.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's really good new art, but if it's just someone glancing at it and moving on, they might not realize that this is actually, like, really good new art that's just really meant to look like the show. Because, like, as far as I know, I don't think this exact shot even exists. Like, we get Takato there and Gilmon looking like that, but I don't think they're part of the same shot in the show.
No, they weren't. It went, like, from his perspective, yeah. Like, over to Gilmon where he's, like, wagging his tail, and then he's like, oh, shit, I'm going to get eaten by a dinosaur.
So it's, like, a gorgeous new composition that does its best to look like it was always a thing. And I love that. Reprint of Dukemon X. Really nice card. I feel like we had to have talked about... Yeah, exactly. Reprints of Koromon and Agumon from Booster Set 21. I actually like the falling art. With
the bubbles are so cute.
The falling art with Terramon's nice. I like. And then...
Technically, that Agumon can fly.
And then we got the weekend. There was a weekend event, so they went nuts. So Dukemon reprint. Shine Greymon Ruin Mode reprint. Then, a new Shine Greymon card, which very nice anime style card. This was promo art that we saw like last year with them teasing this set, I believe.
I feel like that.
Great art, both of them punching. Then a Tamer card, which is Masaru and Agumon.
I told you he couldn't fly.
Okay, am I wrong? Or is this supposed to be like based on like, I say based on because it was different designs at the time. This is that last shot of them jumping at the camera, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was Masaru when he's older, I think, but this is supposed to be like that shot, right?
No, this is at the end where it's like, oh, we can evolve even further, and Agumon becomes giant and burst modey and beat the shit out of Yggdrasil.
And that's the parallel card. Burst modey, and also Masaru's there. Does it feel like they want us to think he's surfing on him?
Yeah, because like initially in the actual episode, he's like holding on to the straps like reins.
And then... the ultimate model kit box art, Shine Greymon. Although, weirdly, this feels like it takes inspiration from a few things. Like, it could sort of be the Ultraman pose. There's multiple animes where in the OP, the opening, you see them, like, jumping up to grab something like this.
Reaching up towards the thing.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of things this could be referencing, and I'm not 100% sure what, because so many. Then we get Imperial Geron Fighter Mode with new anime style art of Fighter Mode. Daisuke and Ken. This was also previewed at the same time as that Saver's art.
This should also be on a model kit box, but the box should also include little tiny minifigures of Vemon and Wormmon.
Oh, no, I meant the anime art.
Oh, okay, I was looking at the one next to it.
Yeah, the one next to it with the tiny view. That's definitely a model kit box with tiny figures. That one's good. Chibi Vemon, Lydramon reprints with the gold borders. I actually really like the gold border ones. I would like us to see a few of these for new cards that are not reprints. Just like, be like, a parallel card to a new card in the set with the gold border would be nice.
Yeah, it's a nice aesthetic.
Yeah. Reprints for Wormmon and Togemugamon. Reprints for
Spiky Boy.
Daisuke from Booster 3. That's an old one. Promo cards for Vemon and Wormmon. So these are interesting in that I believe in the U.S. this is the second art of this card, and in Japan it's the first art, because like they were like a month swapped around when the beginning came out. I think the first U.S. card has Vemon doing that like muscle pose, and Wormmon is there.
It's so long ago, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been a few years. What's weird is I like the Wormmon pose, but does it also feel too basic at this point? Like, we've just seen it too much, I think.
It's super clip-arty.
Then we get reprints of Gatsumon, Shamamon, and Solarmon. More reprints of Terrormon, Pamumon, and Kokuamon. I like how old some of the reprints are. Like, we're seeing stuff from, like, Booster 3.
It's like these are ancient texts.
Booster, like, green didn't even exist until Booster 1. The original card game was just the starter decks that came out first were just a few colors.
Yeah, blue and red, I think.
Blue, red, and I think there was a Takaru on the first day for yellow. And then green and black were introduced in the booster, I think. I could be wrong. And then purple was like, was purple introduced in Booster 2? It's something like that. I'm probably wrong, though. Then reprints of Gazimon, Psychmon, and Chikurimon.
I always love Koki's Psychmon artwork.
It's done... It reminds me, oddly... Does it kind of remind you of Rolf, the dog?
You know what it reminds me of? A troll in Central Park.
And then... a tamer card for Junpei,
film vibes.
Koji, and Koichi. New anime art. Like the other one, we got them standing there looking... You know, kind of character-y. And then we get poses for Magna Gurumon. It really is crazy how much they've stepped up the anime art the last few years. Like, just looking at this, it is wild how good it's gotten. And then, previews of Starter Decks 23 and 24, where we finally start to see Beat Break characters. We get Kekkomon and Gekkomon. Look at that Kekkomon looking up at the light.
He's a precious baby.
Then from Starter Deck 24, which is the Saver / Data Squad set, Koromon and Akumon. I like them, but they don't kind of... I feel like the best one here is Kekkomon.
Absolutely. It has, like, great color, good shading. There's also, like, you see, like, a little bit of, like, a... it's like, like, Pyokomon in the foreground. Like, a little leaves at the top of its head.
Yeah. And then... They continue with the early previews. We get some early previews of Booster Set 25. We get Junomon, a Junomon parallel card, and Guardian Palace. Guardian Palace is a good shot. It's not a shot from the game, but it's of a specific moment that when you go to Guardian Palace, it's good. The normal Junomon art's fine. The parallel art's very nice.
I really like the kind of like the dithering, like comic, like the screen tone textures to
it. Yeah, we've gotten the screen tone a number of times recently, and I think it really works well for the look of Digimon.
And also, the basic card just gives me Fate vibes.
And then we got a proper name for EX-12. They told us the theme would be Shambhala, so the name is Digital World Shambhala. We get art previews of Nezhamon, Kaguyamon, and Hyandramon. And they also clarified that on top of the Shambhala theme, various existing Pendulum-themed decks will get support in EX-12, since a big thing of Shambhala is it's showing up in the Pendulum 6 and 7. So it makes sense that that would be what extends the theme. Although, I would like more art of Kaguyamon actually doing stuff. Does it feel like a lot of Kaguyamon art is like Kaguyamon posing?
Yeah, it's just kind of like serenely being there.
Exactly. Then we got cards
for busting some kneecaps.
Then various event cards, World Championship Season 1. We saw the Koromon and Agumon earlier. And they teased Greymon and Metal Greymon, who we get to see now. I love the mirror image of it. And then Evolution Cup is Zenith-themed, where the winner gets a new card of Zenith, parallel card. Top 4 gets Ragnarok Cannon. Participation prize is Destromon.
This looks just really fucking cool.
I know it does. Card
Especially
battle.
Especially the Zenith card. I love the colors in that one.
I want to see it in person. Because the shading feels like it will look different in the light. Like with the, with, Gaia, with brain frozen on Digimon's name. It keeps, Ragnamon's look in the background there. And then a new episode of Card Battle went back to Card Room for a Boosters at EX11 match with, Chiba versus Meguro. I love how the decks are Vortexdramon versus X McQueenamon. That is a good thing.
I did not get a chance to look through that one yet.
Annabirth put up... Okay, so these will be available February 13th and February 20th. They're themed after the Digimon data screens and the analyzer.
I wonder if they're... Are they single-sided or, like, double-sided?
Single, I believe, because it is stickers, which are 10 types, blind pack for 550 yen each. Acrylic cards, blind pack for 800 yen each. Retro TV-style magnets, 10 blind pack for 880 yen each. Postcard set, which is 10 types, all included, 1980 yen, and that's the Digimon at the perfect and ultimate level from the anime. Oh. And then the other analyzer fits the acrylic cards.
Oh, that's neat.
This is the type of thing where if it sells more than they expect, they definitely can do plenty more from this show, other shows.
That is cool.
What I will say is, I need to see what that stand looks like in person first. Like, photos of it, I mean.
Yeah, just the flat rendering doesn't really...
Yeah. Does not do it for this one.
Yeah.
And then, what may be the single most misidentified product by fans on social media. Digimon Adventure keychains are out later this month. Dev, so these are going to be in Gashapon machines for 300 in a try. Dev, what are these keychains based on?
Isn't it when during the Dark Masters arc and Pinocchiomon was like,
yes,
had like a little chessboard or some shit where he keeps like
the voodoo
moving
dolls,
everyone around just to fuck with them?
Yeah, the voodoo doll figures. Everyone thought they were the keychains from Piedmon. These are Puppetmon's figurines. Some of them are harder to tell, some of them are similar. The easiest way to tell which ones you're looking at
is the faces,
one's face in particular. Tai Chi is given like the kind of like generic hero yell type. His mouth is closed on the Piedmon ones.
That and their arms are kind of like more like straight down at their sides, if I remember.
I don't fully recall, to be honest. But yeah, these are definitely the Puppetmon ones. Puppetmon slash Pinocchiomon. Yeah, so these are basically $2 a try, which really is not bad for gacha. Dev, when you find these at a convention, how much do you think they will cost?
10,000 yen. Realistically, they'd probably be like $6 or $8 at least.
That's not too bad, honestly. But yeah, I want to see what the final ones look like. The photos are nice, but sometimes gachas do not look like the press photos.
Yeah, sometimes like the textures are off, or the paint colors, or the finish, okay, or
if
half
you,
a dozen other things.
If you only got one, which do you think the best one that you'd want is, Dev?
It's hard to say, like, personally, Hikari is my favorite, but I also cosplay Gabumon, so, like, having a Yamato, like, attached to my bag while running around as Gabumon would be pretty funny.
I'm not sure which one I want. I feel like the one that is most amusing to look at is somewhere between Hikari and Joe, partially because Joe just looks so dang happy as a figure.
It's the happiest he's ever looked.
Yeah, exactly.
But and Hikari also looks like a demented little gremlin, so.
And then, talk about a surprise. Dev, I think we've both said multiple times we never expected to see this figure again. They are reprinting the Gem, Angewomon, and Hikari figure.
I wonder if they're redoing the wings somehow so they don't explode.
Okay, so let's tell the story of this figure. This figure came out 10 years ago, like this month. So it came out, and back then, we did not necessarily get information and photos from fans in Japan quite as quickly. So sometimes there was an information lag. So it comes out, and then a few days later, after pre-orders have been taken for months, mysteriously, pre-orders close every country outside of Japan. And the only message are like if a store decides to comment on it was basically Toei and the partner decided this does not match the view of what they want the brand to look like in the West. The suggestion being that it's too fan servicey. That's the suggestion. So that is the story. Now, very quickly, I know Dev, I think Dev even found out quicker than me, is that does not appear to be the real story, because all the figures, most of the figures showing up in Japan are showing up broken. Like, beaten the fuck out of, because the wings just are not built well and supported well in the packaging.
Yeah, they did not survive the, well, they don't have, well, they have, like, the different postal service, but they did not survive the UPS treatment of, basically, the box gets drop-kicked into...
Yeah, and then then shortly after, we start finding out that somehow Bandai already has, like, replacements ready to go. So it appears what they did was they canceled the U.S., Spain, all the different countries that were going to get it, and went with the excuse of, well, it's not appropriate for the brand outside Japan, so they could use that stock to fix. And then they didn't do resales, they didn't do reprints, which a lot of Gem figures have gotten reprints and resales. They didn't do anything. So it was
The Angemon one got a reprint.
The Lady Devimon one got a reprint, I believe. So it appears they use that excuse so they just don't have to deal with it and they can do it. And it's worth mentioning, it's months later when they announced the Lady Devimon one, which is 100% like a Bisojo fan service figure, and that one came out here. Like, pretty quickly. So it's always been pretty obvious that they kind of lied so they didn't have to deal with it. So a reprint 10 years later is wild. And Dev, the price jump is almost double. The original release.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So the original one was about 12,500 yen. This one is just under 20,000 yen. So the other thing of note is when they did a later Angelmon figure, just this fan service, and it came out of the US. And in fact, I think both me and Dev have it. You have that one, right, Dev?
Yes, yes. It has a place of honor on the top of my
The shop. Amount of packaging, and I still have photos of it, which I've shown in the past, is very clear. They want to make sure it would not break. So, Dev, okay, so this one, not the one that they fixed the shipping with. I believe you ordered it and it came and it was like shattered, wasn't it?
No.
Am I thinking of someone else? Okay, I'm thinking of someone else.
Probably someone else.
Yeah. So, I know we're both very curious to see what this figure looks like, both in packaging and design when it shows up. Because for one, they're just better plastics now. Like, they could easily just make them stronger. They also stuff plastic all over. The second Angemon figure looks fucking ludicrous.
Look, every single wing had its own little foam bubble wrap sleeve. Yeah. And then there was bubble wrap balled up between each wing.
Yeah.
And then there was a plastic clamshell, and then another one around that. And it was so thick. Just the sheer amount of
they were not going to
and volume that it took up in the box is insane.
I know. That's why I took photos of it when I was unpacking it, because that's one of those figures when I did the breakdown article of. So I made sure to get the photos of the packaging, because I'm like, there's no way anyone's gonna believe me that it's like this,
except me, who also got that figure. Yeah. Because there's no way in hell I was letting that one go.
Yeah. So pre-order that if you want it. See, a lot of the Gem figures, like, we don't even necessarily get, like, mass market specialty store in the U.S. It's just if import stores carry it or not, basically, at this point. So we will see, and then...
Yeah, like, the only place I've really seen them is, like, at conventions.
Yeah, that's basically the market for that now. And then, Beat Break Pop-Up Shop at Medico Shop Shibuya, March 6th, Abino Luckbus... On April 24th, it features Glowing Dawn and Tactics with a theme park theme. All the characters are in casual gear, and the Digimon are, like, theme park setup stuff.
Prizes and accessories.
Yeah. Dev, what do you think is the best use of Digimon accessory stuff in the art?
As in for this set, or something that I would definitely purchase for myself?
No. I don't mean the products. I mean in the art. Like the use of the use of the Digimon to add accessories to the character in some way.
If it's one that I would purchase myself, if those were thing, I would love Chirapmon's hat that Makoto was wearing.
I would
that
probably
is adorable, and I fucking love it.
I'd probably just go with that Gekkomon plush, honestly.
But also, Granite and the Ludomon popcorn bucket.
That's a good. Amazing. That's a funny one, because it kind of like. works with the shield theme, where like it's, you know, like a protector type thing. Okay, who do you think
works well with the shape of Ludomon, and also has like, yeah, you get fancy popcorn buckets at theme parks all the time. This works really well.
Which accessory Digimon thing do you think works the worst?
I'm sorry, Monodramon, but your crossbody bag is kind of a sad piece of shit.
I'm not sure how I feel about the Shakumon headband. They put like a lot of focus on like the purse, and then like to have it actually look like Shakumon, they kind of gave her a headband that I'm not sure works for me.
Honestly, it looks like some of the headbands that we used to have in like Ragnarok Online, where it's like one of the little monsters, but as a headband.
So various products, can badges, keychains, normal stuff. A nice art reproduction, which will be online order only and delivery in August. That is like $170. I feel like, you know what that desperately needed for that price, Dev? Like a theme park background.
Ooh.
Like on white, it's just too boring. And then poll results. Favorite Digimon add to the reference book in 2025 part 1. The winner is Magnetic Drumon. They never get creative when they do ballot stuffing, do they?
No, I guess that's the point, where it's just like, oh, let's just pick something completely random that showed up for 5 seconds.
But it's never trying to boost one that, like, when it gets there, you could actually go, okay, I can see it. Like, if Nyabutmon won, we could actually go, okay, I can sort of see it. Although I kind of wonder if there was an attempt to stuff for Skull Seijumon, because that just was not that interesting, to be honest.
I don't know. A lot of my friends thought it was really fucking cool, because, you know, sea monster, but also it's a fucking skeleton.
I don't know. I don't dislike it. I'm talking about the actual, like, rank. I thought Dulhamon was going to be higher, to be honest.
Actually, it's about where I kind of expected it to be, like,
I will say
upper third-ish.
I will say, generically, all the lower ones make sense to me.
Yeah, it's like they're kind of, like, cannibalizing each other's votes, and or they're not particularly, like, unique or interesting to begin with, at least compared to the other ones.
Okay, wait. In the chat, Stark says, they feel like every time it's one I don't like, it's a high ranking. I assume it's vote botting. This is definitely vote botting. Magnetic Drummond's just not that popular. There are plenty of times ones win that I don't like, but I can understand them winning. This one is just, no one talks about the Digimon. It's not, like, shown off. There's, like...
Like, I really like Magnetic Drummond.
Yeah,
well, there's no way in hell it's getting the top vote.
I like the big fancy, like, elemental dragon shoulder things. I just don't think it's that popular. That's why I'm pointing, like, if Medusamon or Nyabutmon won, they aren't ones I actually want to win, but I can understand it if they did. I like Nyabutmon's design, but it's also really kind of just basic in the sense of it's Puss in Boots.
It's Puss in Boots.
Yeah, it's not that even creative of a concept for Digimon. I could have understood it winning. I'm not complaining that it didn't. If you were to ask me for one that I would want to win, it would be, I'm trying to think, like, who would I actually want to win?
Honestly, for me, it's probably either like Medusamon or Geckomon, just because I really like Medusamon's design.
I guess Geckomon. But, yeah, see, the problem is now, like, if the army is just, have I looked at, yeah, I've looked at it, but, like, that is not, it is not a popular enough Digimon to actually win. Like, it's not popular
enough
to...
It's not beating Geckomon.
Yeah, that's where, like, if you remove certain Digimon from this list, yeah, I could actually see Magnetic Drummon ranking quite highly. It's not ranking there. It's just not. It's like...
It's a top third. It's not...
Yeah, exactly.
Number one.
It's like, I actually like Ariamon's design. If that one were higher up, I would say there's no way in hell it got there. There are just better designs that even appeal to the ones looking for the waifu Digimon. I will say I'm a bit surprised that Ariamon's higher even by a hair from Kaguyamon. That one actually is a bit surprising. But it's like such a small hair, it doesn't really matter. And then moving on to the small...
Say exactly the number of votes gotten?
No, we get percent of overall. Yeah. There was one or two where they give actual numbers to, but they don't really do that often. Probably because you'd see that there actually are not all that many votes for these, is what I would assume. And then moving on from that, from the bad stuff, we get some stuff from Ayumi Miyazaki, photos during a recording session, and then the clip from the concert of the Malaysia concert tour they did, which looked very neat.
He's been busy.
I know. He's been running around so much these last few years. Like, years at this point. Plex showed off the Real Data Collection Tyrannomon at Wonder Festival 2026 Winter. And then we got photos from a fan of collaboration product between Digimon Adventure and My Friend Rabbit.
I have never heard of My Friend Rabbit.
So I don't know if it's the same one, but there is like an English book series like for kids called this, but I don't know if it's the same one. And searching did not help because so much automated stuff just goes, oh yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, I'm not sure it is because I can't find images that like combine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like these aren't consistent.
Yeah. That Gabumon looks fucking great.
Yeah, I love the fucking side eye he's giving.
You know who that feels like? It feels like it's Gabu. It really
does.
Oh my
god, you're right.
And then from the mall tour event they're doing, Jun Noda went there to do the stamp rush. And Lin from Mad Kid, who co-wrote the opening theme for the anime, took a photo with Gekkoman. Which, nice little photo. And he said
really
he found.
Really fucking cool tattoo.
What's interesting is, am I wrong, or is the one like a fancy Dragon Ball? Look at the one on his left hand.
Looks. I thought that was the homunculus sign from Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, okay. It might be that. I might just have looked it wrong. Okay.
It's hard to say from like the angle, but.
Okay, that makes sense. And then some pictures from the O2 exhibition, which is still open for about a week. They showed a bit of the O2 set because there's multiple exhibitions happening there. I love how neat that looks.
I want to know what one is in the basement.
Yeah, Kakuto mentioned that, but we don't actually know what he was referring to. And he didn't post any photos of it like he normally does, so it's hard to say. Some card game art. And we commented on this last week. It's commenting on Omekamon being giant. You know what the funny part about this art style is, Dev? Omekamon is
perfect expressions.
No, look at Omekamon. You almost can't tell that he's in a funny SD art style.
He's just like that.
Then Beat Break art for the episode. Takahiro Kojima, the characters on Beat Break, did the babies.
Babies are so sad.
Digimon TV put up a Shikishi of Haruomi and Commandramon fishing. That's a good one. Akamini Aki worked as an animation checker, did art of Haruomi waving. That does not feel like the character we saw, does it? He's
no,
too happy.
Like, oh, look how precious and adorable it is. Like, wait, no, this guy's an assassin. He's murdered people.
And then Abi Yu worked on the episode as second key animator. And they thanked all the production staff, says the family looking forward to see how the story unfolds. And art of Gekkoman and Tomuro. That is a great Tomuro. Like, you know what that almost looks like? If someone was drawing Tomuro in a horror movie.
I was about to say, It looks like someone about to shout at their cat. No, don't!
Yeah. And before we do questions, it's also worth mentioning that in regards to vote stuffing, the people who do the vote stuffing make it very public and very known. It's not hard to find them actually talking about it. I don't always look it up, but you would be shocked how often people tag me to it going, ha ha ha, like they think I care beyond having to mention it.
Like, look, we have so much popularity and power that we can control the vote.
Yeah, and it's like, cool, it's a vote that means very little. Cool. Then, whoops, wrong one. Pull up questions. Chat, you guys can throw yours up. The ones are sent ahead of time. Someone asked, do you think Digimon works better with decent-sized breaks in between shows? Do you think they properly use that time to do more with the brand, and how could they use that time better, do you think? I think it does work better with breaks once in a while, because, like, think about even, like, with, because Sentai has now ended after nearly 50 years, and even when they talk about it, like, when the staff talks about, like, they talk about, like, desperately stretching the concept to make it work.
Like, absence makes the heart grow fonder, because there's only so much you can do with some things.
Well, it's also like, when you do it nonstop, it kind of becomes just not important to check it out for a lot of people. We're like, it's just something that's there.
Something that's always there. It's not something fresh and new. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, it's just whatever thing is airing now.
Also, I'd say in between Ghost Game and Beer Break, it felt like they used the time well.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a...
Like, we knew game stuff was coming. Comics. Don't forget Seekers. I'm not saying Seekers was great, but it was, like, a good idea to do. There was a lot of stuff. Sometimes it's hard. Do you remember when they did that giant Mugendramon figure?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my wallet could not handle that as much as I wanted
And Stark said that because of the view stuffing, we were kind of mean about Magnetramon. Could we say something nice? I thought I did, because I talked about how cool the elemental, like, shoulder dragon things were.
Yeah, and I said I really like the design. It's fucking cool. It's just not going to win over Geckomon when it showed up on, like, a couple of pages of Liberator, and that's it.
I also like the, God, I don't know what to call them. The, like, the positive and negative things on his arm that, like, are supposed to go in. I don't know what those are.
Like,
I don't remember what those
are. Chargy things.
Yeah.
My brain is not picking up words.
Oh, no. Magnetramon has a cool design. There's no argument there. I think it can be a busy design, especially on card stuff. But yeah. Yeah, our complaint is not the design of Magnetramon. It is purely that if you were going to do a popularity poll with these Digimon, I think he would be top six for sure. I think if you remove a few key Digimon, he would be quite popular. But do I think he's going to top Geckomon and a waifu Digimon? No, I just don't think so. As far as popularity goes.
Look, as far as these polls go, organically, it's going to be a main anime character Digimon, or a waifu that's at the fucking top.
I'm very disappointed, Dev, that when you went with polls, you did not add the joke, you know, magnetic poles.
I blame my sleep.
Then someone said, what flavor of chips do you like and what do you not like?
I prefer more just like salt as far as chips go.
Yeah, also, it, like, it depends on the chip,
salt
I guess.
And vinegar.
See, I don't remember liking salt and vinegar chips, but I also don't think I've had them in like 30 years. So it's hard for me to, like, honestly gauge. It depends on the chip, like...
Look, I just really love the taste of acetic acid.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, like, I'm trying to think of, like, flavors I like. Like, you know, if it's a basic potato...
Like, when me and my partner went out anywhere, he would give me the rest of his pickles.
No, I like pickles, but a lot of pickle-flavored stuff I don't like. Because it's that flavor, but it does not remind me of pickles... For some reason.
Yeah, but dill is kind of like off in chip form.
Yeah, dill pickle flavor is worse than pickle generically flavor-wise, because the dill is so forward, and there are very few pickles that are super strong with dill, at least that I find. Yeah. Let's see.
Also shrimp chips.
I haven't had those
shrimp
in a while.
Shrimp chips are really good.
It also helps if you haven't had a flavor in a while. Like, if I haven't had sour cream and onion chips in a while and I have one, they taste like extra sweet for a bit.
Yeah. Like, they taste different than if you're just, like, dipping regular chips into, like, sour cream and onion, like, the dip itself. It's just like, I don't know what it is.
Exactly. Then Dev Digunder said, you mentioned Ragnarok Online. Is there any old 2D MMO multiplayer games you used to play a lot? I think the play a lot is meant for both of us. You definitely have a more interesting answer for this, so you go first.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Ragnarok Online. But also, I played a lot of the original Digimon Online beta. It's what ended up being called, like, Battle Server. It never really... came out of beta. It played basically like Worms.
That's the one that it looked like Battle Spirits, right?
Yes. And it was really fun, and it had really good fucking music.
Yeah, I remember that was the one screen caps always got people excited, but, like, not many people played it.
It was a pain in the ass to get into it, because you basically had to fake a Korean social security number. Yeah. No, it was a nightmare, like, getting into that server.
I don't think I really played much in the way of those type of games. Like, I just don't think I did. If I did, I don't really remember, to be honest.
Yeah, it was mostly Ragnarok Online as far as, like, MMOs went.
Yeah. Then someone asked, coincidentally, that one was in the chat. We get a game question that was sent ahead of time. Do you think we could get Switch 2 ports of the other Switch Digimon games? Specifically of the Switch Digimon games, I feel like they would not. They would just do like a patch or a small paid upgrade. But like a lot of those, they run not necessarily great, but fine enough. Like Cyber Sleuth is like 1080p 60, I think. It could be a bit choppy, but I would not be shocked if you just played the Switch 1 one on Switch 2 if it just ran fine.
Yeah, as far as I know, they're the better versions, like yeah. With all the rest of the quality of life updates, just because of how late they came out compared to all the other versions. So, I mean,
now that being said, the PC versions of those do run at 4K, so I have no complaint if they add a patch to open that up. But yeah, if you want to play the Switch Digimon games, they're fine for what they are. There's not really any reason not to.
That might, if I'm on the Switch, I'm playing almost everything almost exclusively in handheld anyway, so not going to make a difference to me.
See, that actually could be a big difference on the Switch too, because based on how they locked it, that could be running at 720p60 on the Switch 2 in portable. So a patch to make that 1080p60 in portable mode on the Switch 2 could actually be a decent upgrade for someone. But yeah, based on how you play, I wouldn't super worry about the moment. But yeah, an upgrade would be nice. In response to you talking about the MMOs dev, Digender mentioned Trickster Online.
Never played that one, or even heard of that one.
It reminds me of Trickstar, which was a Dreamcast hoverboard game. I don't think there's any relation, but that's what the name reminds me of. Someone then asked, are you looking forward to more Scrubs? I assume this is asked because I use Scrubs GIFs all the time, and the answer is yes, although I have concerns. The first concern is whether it was kind of a subpar spinoff, I don't like that they're ignoring Season 9.
I have not watched any of it.
Oh, Scrubs is so good.
I have no idea what's going on.
Scrubs is so good.
Like, I've just seen a couple of memes at random.
Oh, I could show you, I could throw hundreds of clips at you and they'd all be good. Last chance for questions from chat. Any good extras that you're hoping the Digimon Ghost Game Blu-rays have? I feel like there's one extra in particular I would like. Dev, I can hear you're going to say something. You go first.
I was actually really hoping for that extra that the live action narrator piece.
Okay, that I would not consider an extra. Like that I consider like, even if it's an extra episode, it's not like that. Yes, they have to conclude. Here's what I would like as an extra. So all the Digimon Blu-ray
production artwork?
No, most of the Digimon Blu-ray boxes have gotten audio dramas in some form. Do an audio drama and find some and plot it specifically to have the other Gamamon evolutions in it.
That'd be hilarious. All of them at once.
I don't even care if it's all at once, but like have it be just like the bonus episode of Ghost Game and have the extra evolutions in it. And I don't even necessarily mean like only do Proximamon and Arcturusmon. I mean like, remember Bombermon or Gillydumon? Yeah. Like have the other Gamamon evolutions in the audio drama in some fashion. That is what
you'd be comedic. Just give us something.
Yeah. That is what I would like. But yeah, I'm not going to say I consider it non-negotiable if they have to include the live-action clip show one, but yeah, I would consider it.
Point if they don't.
I would consider it incomplete if they did not, even if it's not even if it's not a numbered episode. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Ghost Game set, even if it's not my favorite show. I'm glad it's getting a Blu-ray box. I'm hoping we get some new art. See, now I'm disappointed because now in my head it's like, oh shit, they might actually not include that episode. But we will see. Okay, that is it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Take a look at Machinamon, because it is a precious robot kitty baby.
Did it get beat? I forgot. How beat up did it get in that poll?
It got 1.8%.
That's actually much lower than I expected. Like, here's the thing. I actually don't like the design that much. I think it, like, the split design's a bit messy. It felt like people were very excited for that Digimon. But it also falls into the you can only vote for one.
It would be a cute plushie.
Also uncomfortable, because half of it would be metal. half of it would be that weird, half of it would be that shitty vacuum metallic stuff that like crumbles after a year or two. You remember that stuff. It used to be like to represent metal on plushy years ago, and it just like flaked like crazy.
Yeah, it's like a type of like metallic vinyl, and it just disintegrates, and then sometimes it just turns green.
It's sort of like all the technology that had that soft touch rubber, and that stuff just starts melting into like sticky glue.
Yeah, or it like sticks to itself and then disintegrates.
Yeah.
And it accumulates this weird, terrifying slime. It's like, where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah, I know. It's so terrible. I'm not around next Monday. I expect we'll be recording on Sunday based on dev schedule. We'll figure it out, though, and let you guys know with plenty of time. Thank you for showing up. We will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.